Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to day 7 of our 8-day Peace Team training camp. This is Sheva Kaur, Director of HeartMath Heart Mastery Program, hosting this event during our morning Heart Start call half hour, and delighted to have with us Marilyn King, the instigator of 8-day Peace Day training camp, and Peace is the Only Gold, a project of Pathways to Peace. You can learn more about Marilyn at waybeyondsports.com, and you can learn more about Pathways to Peace at pathwaystopeace.org. Marilyn, welcome this morning. You were touched deeply by something happening in current events that, you know, everyone on this call may have their own opinions and feelings about. But what I'd love for you to do is to share from the heart your sadness this morning, what that sadness means to you and how it relates to our current peace point on the peace vision card, and how, as an Olympian, you meet what saddens you. This is very important role modeling, you know. If we're going to have passion, we will be saddened by the situations in the world that are contradictory and in compromise to our values. Being an Olympian doesn't mean that everything comes easily. To the contrary, Olympians get to where they are because they have habits that empower them to meet what is difficult. So Marilyn, you're facing an inner challenge this morning. And I'd love for us to role model together how those challenges are met the Olympian way, especially where peace building is concerned, because committing our lives to peace is the incredible video of Malala speaking at the United Nations, which several of you have posted on our Facebook page, embodies, does not mean that we will never meet challenges on that journey. It means we must be called to meet those challenges with passion and vision-inspired action, so that the things in the world that sadden us become doorways through which our core values and action can be covered. And that being said, a reminder to all of you, you can manage your unmuting by pressing *6. If there's background noise on your line, I will manually mute you from here and then unmute you when it's time for us to dialogue. So Marilyn, if you would just share from your heart this morning what's touched you and what you're going to do about it.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy for me to talk. I feel very emotional about the... I'm just very sad for Trayvon Martin's family and for how challenged many of us feel when we look at what we may perceive to be injustice, whether it is or whether it isn't justice or injustice, in perceived injustice, when we feel helpless and when we feel abandoned. So for me, it's just my sadness is just, you know, with Trayvon Martin's family. And when I looked at the proceedings, I do believe that the jury really didn't have much of a choice in terms of beyond the shadow of a doubt. But where my thoughts went and my feelings went was that I have never agreed with the law, the stand your ground law.
And so, Marilyn, knowing some of our listeners are international and some of them are not following news as their own practice, perhaps you can give this some context of understanding and why this issue touches you.
Yeah, I'm the issue touches me just in terms of justice and injustice. That's one of those things where it doesn't matter what the circumstances or situation is. Injustice is just one of those things that I have, you know, I'm not someone who angers easily, but it's a place where anger, you know, really surfaces. And the context for this particular one was a young African-American man walking through a community on a rainy night, and a neighborhood watch man who carries a gun, seeing this young man and thinking he didn't belong in the neighborhood, and there was an interaction between the two of them, which no one really knows what happened for the most important part of it, but Trayvon Martin, the young man, wound up being shot by George Zimmerman. And then last night, the six-person jury determined that they had not proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that George Zimmerman was not in fear for his life, that the young unarmed man was going to do him grave bodily harm, and he shot him and killed him. To me, it is the stand your ground law. That someone who is legally licensed to have a gun can walk around in a community or at any place and see someone he doesn't like or just, you know, has attitudes and opinions about and follow him, provoke him in some way. And I'm not saying this is what happened, but under this law, it's quite possible that someone with a gun can, you know, provoke another person to respond, you know, with anger, and claim that they felt in danger of grave bodily harm and shoot and kill them and be found not guilty of murder. So for me, in terms of, you know, my Olympian thinking, it really is, for me, I just need to keep taking deep breaths and go back to the bigger picture in terms of law, that we have come from perhaps times in which all kinds of things could happen. And I think about, you know, Dr. King, and that he did not give up in the face of enormous, you know, challenges and overwhelming evidence that what he believed in could not come to pass. So for me, I look for the trim tab. It's like, okay, you know, what can I do? I did not go downtown Oakland and, you know, react in anger and violence and break store windows, but I need to do something. And so kind of like Warren Buffett, with all of the money that he has, and decided he was not the best person to figure out, you know, what to do with his money, but that Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation was doing a terrific job of figuring out what the trim tab was in terms of directing philanthropic money. So he gave a tremendous amount of money to the Gates Foundation. So in this case, you know, I am looking for, you know, where are the people who are most focused on the Stand Your Ground law and how to get that repealed. Even though I'm not in Florida, are there things I can do? That's the trim tab that I have in the moment to help move what I think is an unjust law so that you know, these kinds of things don't happen anymore.
So it's beautiful to me that this is coming up during our peace training camp, because it would be idealistic and delusional to think that peace building is all dessert, that it all feels sweet along the way. But you can sweeten every part of it when you bring passion, vision, and action to it, and understand that the things that disturb your emotional peace, as Marilyn is rattled deeply by this verdict, would only do so if you cared. And that your care itself is a doorway back to peace when you can translate it into visionary action. Then we can be perhaps not at peace with the way things are, but at peace with ourselves for who we're being in response to how things are. And this seeds peace within that yields peaceful action and outcomes outside. Marilyn, anything you want to add to that, or shall we read the peace vision card for this morning?
Well, I'm just very struck by the last phrase of the peace point today. It says, and reverence for life is fostered. You know, in this particular case, if the neighborhood watch person felt that this person was a threat, you know, what is it that he could have done differently so that reverence for life would be fostered? So, yes.
Yeah, it's really important, actually, for these things to come up, for us to explore in training camp. First of all, how do we meet a world in which the rule of law is taken into individual citizens' hands and subject, therefore, to very different types of interpretation? And how do we create peace? As you can imagine, those that crafted the document at the UN deal with all the time when there are differences of opinion. This is one of the things Marilyn, you speak about looking also for where peace is already happening, the success stories. And we have quite a beautiful success story at the United Nations in March at the 57th Commission on the Status of Women. Last year, as you can imagine, when you have, for example, countries whose policymakers and delegates are avid spokespeople for withholding women's rights, like certain Muslim countries like Iraq and Afghanistan. When I was at the 57th Commission on the Status of Women, by the way, we actually sat next to a group of delegates from Muslim countries who were wearing burqas in the commission itself. My intern from Israel-Palestine and I. And it was fascinating to observe because they had men with them who were whispering in their ears behind them when they spoke. And we had some beautiful interactions with these women, but they were clearly not of their own influence entirely. And so you have countries like that dialoguing with delegates from France or the United States, and the job of that commission every year is to create a document. This particular commission had a job to create a document around ending all violence and aggression against women and girls, which is definitely antithetical to peace. Last year's commission came out with no document because these diverse religious and philosophical opinions about the rights of women could not agree, or let's say the people who held these diverse beliefs could not agree on a common document justifying the rights of women. This year, a document was drafted and almost unanimously adopted by the more than 60 nations involved in the process. So where we disagree about gun control and our right to bear arms in this country, our tolerance and appreciation of diverse beliefs, whether they're religious or otherwise, is a practice of seeking the common core values that we share and looking for where those common core values can serve in reverence to life. In our peace building, we can imagine we will confront situations where we all have differing opinions about the laws that will bring peace. This is a crucial part of the process. So our tolerance and appreciation of beliefs that are diverse from ours, spiritual and otherwise, is a crucial part of maturing as peace builders. So Marilyn, if I were coaching you this morning, one of the pieces of homework I would give you is to seek out people who are celebrating the Zimmerman verdict this morning, to understand what it means to them, what core values they feel are embodied in that, and to seek, as you look for the trim tabs to change the Stand Your Ground law, for ways that will honor those core values without the cost you see through the viewfinder of your beliefs and your reverence for life. There is a beautiful chapter in Obama's book, The Audacity of Hope, in which he speaks about a situation he oversaw in Congress where they were dealing with differing opinions from the police force and others about accepting videotaped confessions in legal cases. The police wanted the videotaped confessions accepted. Others did not because they felt the police could coerce such confessions and that the truth would not prevail. And what happened in that situation is people on completely polarized points of view were guided to bring tolerance and appreciation of their diverse beliefs through the doorway of identifying what common core values they shared and the discovery that their common core value was justice, as yours is, Marilyn, and the truth. And out of that, they cultivated a third option that embodied everyone's point of view. So this morning I invite each of you to look for the areas that sadden you, to look for the situations that are not tolerable to you, that you don't appreciate, where your definition of the reverence for life feels compromised. Not as a morose way to start our day, but as a way of identifying the very place where you and your own heart can be the lever where tolerance and appreciation of diverse religious beliefs and other beliefs is the rule. Spiritual practice is encouraged and reverence for life fostered. And we'll engage in what I consider this morning to be a spiritual practice as you examine these areas for yourself. To look to see through the viewfinder of someone who sees that situation completely differently from you. There are two steps to this. The first, to look, as I already invited, through your own eyes. What don't you tolerate? What is intolerable to you? Peace is not tolerating the intolerable. Peace is responding to the intolerable with peace inside and action outside. With tolerance for people who have completely opposing beliefs to yours. And the appreciation comes in, this is step two, in understanding two things. One, What are your core values being jeopardized by what is intolerable to you? For Marilyn, role modeling for us this morning, her rage and indignation. The thing throwing her heart into incoherence is her passion for justice. She needs to translate that overcare into true care that will run coherent peace content through her system to be a stand for the justice she values. Justice is her true care, her core value. So that's the first step to the appreciation piece. To appreciate your own core values that are the key to your passion that gives you vision and calls you to action. So take a moment in this list you've made of what's intolerable to you to identify what core values you want to stand your ground for that make that intolerable to you, whatever it is. It didn't jeopardize something that matters to you. It wouldn't matter to you. What's intolerable points you to your passion. Just as valid a doorway as what comes easy to love. Take a moment to really inquire within. What core values of your own are jeopardized by what matters to you? What threatens what matters to you? What's intolerable to you? What triggers your sadness, your anger, your rage, your indignation? Once you've identified that, which is to appreciate your own beliefs and perceptions, and I dare say is a form of spiritual practice, because it consciously and deliberately engages your relationship with all that is. The next step is I invite you to identify to wear the hat of someone who sees this completely differently from you. If you feel indignant that anyone can own a gun, put yourself in the mindset of someone who feels the right to bear arms is a crucial freedom of the Constitution of the United States. What is their perspective? And what core value? This is the key. Because in conflict resolution, which is an aspect of building peace, it is our common core values that resolve our intolerance of the differences and diversity. What core values are they in defense of? See if you can identify that this morning in your own quiet inquiry. And if you get stuck, part of your homework today is to consciously seek out someone who has a completely different belief from you. To, with curiosity and reverence for their life, find out how they see the world and what matters to them behind those perceptions, their core values there. And then to be an innovator, to seek to imagine laws, behaviors, guidelines that would honor both of your core values as this police force in Chicago did. Under Obama's observation. And how could your own relationship to spirituality and practice be a doorway through which you can influence and respond in peaceful alignment to differing points of view? For those who haven't seen Malala's video, it's a wonderful doorway into looking at someone whose tolerance and appreciation of diverse religious beliefs is the rule, and spiritual practice is encouraged and reverence for life fostered. She speaks to her spirituality and her reverence for all religious beliefs. She bows to the Buddha and to Christ as she honors Muhammad for being her inspiration for nonviolence, and the fact that if her shooter was standing before her and she held a gun, she would not shoot him. How can you be a part of this expression of peace that's already happening by the hands and heart of a 13-year-old girl from Afghanistan and so many others? Marilyn, what would you like to add to this?
Well, Sheva, I want to just thank you. One of the things that you role modeled so beautifully for us today and for me is when we think about the notion of peace and team, you know, how important it is that we have a coach and training partners, that we actually have a team. There are times when, you know, as the athlete or as the one in training, you lose sight of something, and it's important that you have someone like a coach who holds the larger perspective. And like my own coaching in track and field, if I had a shot putter who was doing a dozen things wrong, I'm not going to try to address all dozen things. But because I have the larger perspective and I'm fully informed about the technique, I know that there are two or three things that are pivotal, and I will direct the athlete's attention to, you know, one of those strategic areas. And that's what you did so beautifully this morning for us all, and for me in particular, to, as the coach, to know that underneath there is a place to go. There is a trim tab place. And to explore, you know, what are the common core values that, you know, I hold, you know, with others who hold different opinions about what happened yesterday. So you did a beautiful job of role modeling that, and thank you.
And a wonderful point. You know, I don't know, coaching many Olympic athletes, I don't know a single one that got to the Olympics without several coaches.
Yes.
So to think that we should be able to create peace on our own without mentoring, coaching, and guidance is delusional. I don't really know anyone who is highly accomplished and met amazing goals in any arena who hasn't had coaching of some sort. So another homework assignment for you today is to seek out who your coaches and mentors are.
Sheva, I just think you made a beautiful, beautiful point relative to our peace card and how it's easy to feel overwhelmed if you believe it's important to be well-informed and fully informed. It can be quite overwhelming. But the notion of multiple coaches, and it really does mirror in part what I have done for myself so that I would not be overwhelmed but could really feel that I could be strategic in how I use my time and resources. But that, you know, seeking out, you know, who are the people who are most well-informed and looking at the strategic leverage points in any and all of these peace points. And while I'm not going to devote myself in all of these areas, even with limited funds and resources, I can determine that just a small donation to Transparency International, for me, that is one of those trim tab places that transparency and accountability is one of those trim tab places at this moment for peace. So while I'm not going to engage in their work or get personally involved, I can make a contribution. So it's like Transparency International is one of the coaches because they have devoted themselves. So we can find those people who are really well-informed and can guide us if we want to make a contribution, you know, in any of these areas or all of these areas, and then to find the place where we can make our best contribution to peace as a member of this team. So thank you, Sheva.
And Marilyn, do you do private coaching if people need that?
On a very limited basis, yes.
So you can reach out to Marilyn. I certainly do private coaching through my Heart Ambassadors program. And any of you interested in, for example, a HeartMath coach can go to heartmathproviders.com and find lots of HeartMath coaches there. But this is something for you to gather information around today, to look to which of the pathways to peace so far, and you can always look at the vision card to recap. It's a file on our Facebook page, really call out to you to follow as one of your pathways to peace and to seek out who the players are in that pathway to peace and who might be a coach for you. You know, it's interesting timing because I'm reading right now a book by one of the Google and Facebook founders. The book is called Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg. And the section I happen to be reading right now is where she talks about being approached by so many people who want her to be their mentor. And she finds this very off-putting. So one invitation, a best practice she gives in seeking mentoring is to engage relationship rather than need. Usually the best coaching and mentoring happens as an exchange. So Marilyn, you mentioned, you know, making a donation to an organization that I hope you'll post on the Facebook page.
Yes.
Can you say it again? It was the Transparency.
Yes, it's Transparency International has been around for decades, believing that the trim tab was to bring to light things that should have the light shined on them in order to be able to change, and has been just incredible, incredible contribution to the evolution of peace on the planet.
Yeah.
Transparency International.
Thank you. So we'll make sure that gets posted.
Yes.
So on the Facebook page. But once you've identified these key places that are pathways to peace for you and the organizations or individuals that are masterful in those domains, in addition to seeking out a, you know, professional coaching relationship, look for ways you can serve those organizations and bring value to them. Because it's often simply engaging in volunteerism or even work for hire that you learn, so to speak, on the job, and that as you're delivering value, you receive value and learning.
And Sheva, I would even add what happened for me with Transparency International and discovering the work they were doing, that even though they will never know my name and my financial contribution is not, you know, going to raise the roof for anyone, because I now understand their work and the value of their work, it's something that lives with me every day, that when I see things come across, you know, on the internet that I think, you know, need to have more light of day, you know, I make sure that I forward that or click on that. I am paying attention to what is my role as a peace team member, because I think that transparency is also one of those trim tab places. What is it that I can do today relative to shining the light on things that need to change?
I can't think of a better note for us to complete on. Very beautiful, Marilyn. Shall we open the lines for anything anyone would like to share, or is there anything else for this morning?
Good morning.
Hi, it's Bernice.
This is Joni, and I just want to thank you for that conversation about the trial and the results, because that's been very difficult for me too, and I have felt a lot of anger and frustration, so thank you, that was very helpful. And secondly, I was looking for the peace card on the Facebook page and couldn't find it. I found the eight paths to peace, but I couldn't find a photo of the card either under photos or files.
It's under files.
I couldn't find it.
It's there. I actually opened it from there this morning because I don't have access to my hard copy. So you have to scroll down. It was the first thing that was posted, so you have to scroll all the way down to the bottom. Okay.
Yeah, I went there, and there's a document there, but it's not the card that I have anyway. There's a card that says, imagine a world where governments da-da-da-da.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what's there under Pathways to Peace, or it's Pathways Vision Card PDF is what it's called, posted July 1st.
That's not what's showing on my computer. That's strange.
Yeah, so that would be a question for your computer person, because you may have, Joni, a previous document with the same name. And when that happens, your computer will open a prior document.
Well, I found one. I found one. I had to, yeah.
So that's, and those kind of technical things when it's your own computer, unfortunately, have to be dealt with on your side. I know there were a couple other people that wanted to share. And Joni, I'm so glad that this morning's topic was timely for you.
Thank you.
Sherry, I think I heard your voice.
Well, actually, that's so funny because it was, I think, Bernice that said something, but I really have something
Bernice,
to share that's really
really
relevant to this. So
let's go to Bernice, and then we'll come back to you, Sherry.
Okay.
Thank you, Sheva. Marilyn, I would like to thank you for opening and being vulnerable with your feelings about the trial. Today is the first I've heard of the outcome. But as I was listening for today's call, it reminded me of, on one hand, on one polarity, this movement, and you've lived your life and taken these pathways to peace in the world. And on the other polarity, we have the pathways to conflict. I think that the Hose Zimmerman Martin experience has shown us on a larger global scale, if you want to look at it that way. And I just wanted to comment that for myself, I'm going to be spending time radiating compassion to the host situation, and just wanted to add that comment. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I think there are many people who are challenged, and one of the things I found helpful today in just recalling what has worked for me as an Olympian was, again, to take a breath and to recognize all the places where peace prevails. And as you walk through your day, to notice all the places where peace prevails, and also to notice, you know, how many people are, you know, quite upset about this and are looking for and choosing for peace to prevail and to find their way to deal with that. So, thank you.
Well, that's exactly right. We've got the power to choose.
Yes.
It's making the choices, yes. Thank you.
Sheva, I'd like to share something after the other.
Great. So we'll come to David after Sherry. Go ahead, please, Sherry.
Oh, okay. Well, I think David will find this interesting that this past week I was at Cortez Island, and I had a couple really intense wolf interactions with real wolves. And at first, like, I just wasn't even aware that they were wolves. One time I just thought it was a giant dog, and it was by myself, and it came right up and ran by me, and I then found out after it was a wolf. And I just started to, you know, research about wolves and how they really are mindful to live as best they can on this island with wolves. And I realize what's happening in the United States is they've been taken off the gray wolves, the endangered species list, because farmers are, you know, having issues with their livestock, and, you know, more for not the reason of really needing, like, at a place that they can be, but the wrong reason in my belief. And I've just, I find it really relevant because now these farmers have permission to shoot them and, you know, even hunt them and whatnot. And then I went through the process today, and my core value is reverence for all life and, you know, all of us living together. And it's just got me on a new train of thought and awareness. And as soon as I told anyone on the island that I had these wolf encounters, there was a lot of fear that came up, which I just found very interesting because I wasn't fearful at first until I saw the fear, and I'm like, oh, is there something? The wolf was so friendly, and so it was just very interesting. So I'm glad I could bring that out to all of you about the wolves. And thank you. And thank you so much for this peace camp. I've so enjoyed it because I've had the peace wheel printed for months, but for me to actually go through the process is how I really take it in. So thank all of, to all of you.
Thank you, Sherry. And just to interject as we're over time before David shares, a reminder to everyone that our call tomorrow is at 9 a.m. Pacific time, an hour-long call to culminate our 8 days of peace training. So 9 a.m. tomorrow, an hour-long call. And David, please go ahead.
I just want to thank you very much, Sheva, because as you, with this very poignant situation that Marilyn shared, and obviously with deep feeling and passion, but how your guide to really humanity core coherence, despite all the differences and so on, but going to the very core where we meet, where we can share life and value, is very, very powerful and important because it's often hard to get there. And as you say, peace work is not always deserved. It's tough. And peace work is also working with and understanding conflict because that's part of the 3D world that we live in. It's built in. And because it's built in difference. So finding this way is vital, and thank you both Marilyn and you, Sheva, for this wonderful, wonderful learning moment.
Thank you.
And I wonder if I could just add to that?
Yes, just one moment, because to that end, I want to remind and refer people to the Inner Ease ebook that's also in your files on the Facebook page, because it's our capacity to create inner ease, which is a water slide into inner peace, that allows us to deal with what isn't easy outside. And if we're going to be peace builders on a global scale, we will deal with things that are difficult outside, and we can do that when we know how to create inner ease. So yes, please go ahead. We have an anonymous caller who wants to share. Who is this?
This is Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Canada. From Quebec.
Which part? Canada is huge. That's like saying, I'm calling from planet Earth.
From a small town called Waves Mills in southern Quebec. I usually call from the Arctic, but I'm not calling from the Arctic today.
Ah, it's this Jenny.
Yes, hi.
So nice to hear your voice after so long.
Nice to hear you, too. I very much enjoyed this. Thank you very much. But I just wanted to add something that really was pivotal for me in my own process with this core value thing. It's something that James O'Day said about all core values have boundaries. And to look where those boundaries are, like if my core value is reverence for life, well, At what point is reverence to life? Is it okay to kill animals to eat? Is it okay to kill plants to eat? Is there sometimes when a violent response is appropriate? These kind of boundaries, because it's in the boundaries that we can connect with people who have radically different ideas to our own. And I found this very, 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 very profoundly useful in my life.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jenny. And I know someone already has posted the James O'Day book in the Facebook page if you want to, anyone wants to go in and explore that. Very much appreciated. Yeah, these are things that require an inner navigational tool. Care can be the compass. Compassion can be the compass. I have found through my work at HeartMath, the heart itself is an extraordinary compass. But anyone who I've ever recognized as a significant peace builder on the outside has had some internal compass that guides them to the ethics and impact of the boundaries they create guided by core values, as you're saying. Is there anything else that anyone else would like to share or ask to complete our call this morning? What's present for me actually is a question for Avon Madison, the founder of Pathways to Peace. Avon, I know you're muted. If you're able to unmute, I would love to hear from your experience over the many years working at the United Nations, how you observe that having so many different nations represented with different beliefs and different ideas about what is right, how that gets navigated into peaceful, productive outcomes. Is there any stories you want to share or anything you've observed that can give us clues to our own peace practice?
There are several, but given that we're focused in short time, I can focus on reverence for life. This was inspired for me by Albert Schweitzer, this phrase and something that he lived by. And it's been a very important peace practice for me that I've translated in, sort of relates to what Thich Nhat Hanh speaks of, which is call me by all my names. So that in a sense there's a boundary, but in a sense there's no boundary, because if everything is interrelated, and if we understand, as the Peace Wheel illustrates, and the peace card, is that everything is a 360-degree perspective. Then what I found useful when working on the documents, such as the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, and being in the room with representatives from all the different nations, but also different non-governmental organizations who were sometimes even more competitive, it was just very interesting. And what occurred was when bringing forward this idea that we are have a different points of view, but we're in a 360-degree sort of circle, and in the center is our common purpose, and identifying what that common purpose was in this particular case, which was how to take some of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, bring that forward with an eye to the 21st century. This was back in the late 80s. And it was inaugurated in 1990 at a summit for children. But what was important was when the conversation understood that all perspectives were included without using the term circle, but in this conference room, and being able to suggest that we focus on what our purpose was, not just in this document, but what did we want, that held a reverence for life, but also that had a respect for one another's opinions, because we all represented a different aspect of humanity. And that what we were doing was in trust, for the next generations. It brought a long-term perspective, a 360-degree perspective, a focalizing point of common purpose, that would allow synergy and synthesis to occur, and a little bit more respectful way of listening as well as speaking and returning to the common purpose, which was, in my terminology, peace. And one of the rights is the right to live in peace. So thank you. I hope that was useful.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Avon. A
perfect example of us seeking a coaching expert.
I'm no expert. I find that everyone and everything is sort of my teacher. And I thank you for your coaching for all of us this morning, dear Sheva.
It is a pleasure to be here with all of you, and will be a pleasure to return tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for our culminating call on the Peace Team Training Camp. Marilyn, any last words from you this morning?
No, just deeply grateful, you know, for all those who have done work over the years, that those of us who care deeply about peace have new and sophisticated ways to think about it, and coaches who will help us recognizing that returning to our core values will inform everything we do. So thank you.
Thank you all for giving your attention to the core value I hold dear of peace. Much love, everyone. I will see you in Facebook.